Thank you, Alex. It is really no surprise why we're all here today. Generally speaking, 52 times a year, we come together on a Sunday morning at this time. Other special occasions as well, Good Friday, Thanksgiving, Thursday, to worship, to come before God and His throne, to present ourselves to be worshipers, to lift high the name of Jesus. And the fundamental reason why is because He's not dead. If He were dead, that would be silly. That would be an incredible waste of time. That would be the height of pride. There are societies and people in our world that worship dead people. Ancestor worship. Historical worship. But we come to church on a Sunday morning because Jesus Christ is risen today. And we echo the sounds of the psalmist and the other biblical writers, and we think of those charges to us that Scripture gives to lift high the name of Jesus. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, okay, I didn't know you were going to do that. That's good. It's good to laugh. It's good to be together. And you did a great job. I just got to pick on you. Lamentations 3, lamenting, the book of sorrows. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. It is good to be here together today, worshiping our risen Lord together. You see that on the front of your bulletin, worshiping together with the date. We come to church today of all Sundays, keenly aware of why we come at all. Jesus Christ, God's only begotten, His one and only Son, gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. And on Sunday, He arose from the grave. The stone was rolled away. His followers came and went inside the tomb, and the body was gone. The tomb was empty. Hallelujah, glory to God. The tomb was empty. But I think sometimes we lose sight of Jesus many of the other 364 days in the year. I think we are apt to set aside His cross. I don't think that we do that in a willful way. I think it just happens. We let our guard down. We're desensitized. We don't make the effort to keep the main thing, other than on Sunday morning. And it's not like I've done an official survey, or I've asked Rasmussen or Gallup or Bad News Barna to take a poll. Do you know who George Barna is? He's always got bad news. He asks Christians their opinions, and he never has anything good to report. I don't know who he's asking. Jesus is alive. But there is ample evidence in our everyday that you and I, beloved, consume more of ourselves and less of Christ every day. Just by simply observing the television for the past couple of days, just simple observation, no general statements, but just think about this. Dr. Oz. What is Dr. Oz always telling us? Maybe you don't sit in front of the TV. That's a good thing. But I'll get to you later. Dr. Phil. P90X. It's all about me. Biggest Loser. Look at the life transformation of these people. Have you ever noticed the psychology of Biggest Loser? How Bob and Dovat and those guys are always working on the psyche of the individual that got them to the place where they are so obese that they can't help it? And then rebuilding them. I am strong. I can do this. I will succeed. I will keep this weight off. Poor lady in Maryland lost her lottery ticket. Mega Millions. My life's going to be easy now. The epidemic of plastic surgery is incredible. Maybe you've had plastic surgery. I don't know. Elective plastic surgery. Implants galore. And my personal favorite, and I bemoan this even though I participate in this, Facebook. I did a little experiment last night on my smartphone, my dumb phone. And I went to one of my friends who's a pastor. And I clicked on him, and then I clicked on his very first friend, okay? And then I clicked on their very first friend that would allow me to see their wall. And I went about five generations in so that I wouldn't know the person whatsoever in being judgmental of their Facebook page. Some of you are my friends. I look at your stuff, too. And it's amazing. Some of you won't friend me, and I don't know about that, but I don't want a pastor to see my Facebook page. But I went to see exactly what it is posted. And now I'm guilty of this too. So, you know, take this with a grain of salt. You know, I post what I'm cooking for our supper. Like you all care what I'm having for supper. I'm so full of myself. It's amazing how full of ourselves we are on Facebook. Now, there are some people and some pages that we link to and show up and, you know, articles that are good for it. It's not all a wash, but fake book. We set aside Christ's cross very often when it's not Easter Sunday. But today, beloved, today it is a new day. Hallelujah, he's alive. Only God truly makes things new. Only God truly makes things new. You and I, because he is the one that makes things new, we should start where God starts. And where God started making things new was at the cross. It is the centerpiece of Christian faith. The cross, the death, and don't forget, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You and I come together, one author has written, in corporate worship. And corporate worship is designed to confront you and I with a view of life, a worldview of life, that has as its center a dead man's cross and a living man's empty tomb. Hallelujah. God starts with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to die our death. There are people in our world who have sacrificed their lives for others. Most often, you and I will read about it with respect to men and women in the military who give their lives. Do you know the name Rafael Peralta? Corporal Adam Morrison of the United States Marine Corps certainly does. On November 15, 2004, Rafael Peralta, a member of Morrison's unit, saved his life and every Marine in that room. Their unit had been cleansing Fallujah, Iraq, of terrorists house by house for 7 days straight. That morning, they entered a home and cleared the front rooms only to find a locked door on the left side. Sergeant Peralta opened the door to be met with gunfire from three terrorists with AK-47s. Peralta, alive but severely wounded, and lying on the floor in the doorway, noticed a grenade rolling into the room towards him. He grabbed the grenade and tucked it under his abdomen. When it exploded, he died, but the rest of the troop survived. Peralta was a 25-year-old Mexican immigrant who enlisted in the Marines the day he received his green card. Leaving his parents for Iraq, he signed up to serve on the front lines. And the rest of the story goes on with his heroic nature. And beloved, that is a heroic act. And I would not want to diminish our men and women of the military at all for their service. It's an amazing, tremendous thing that they do, and it's an amazing and tremendous thing that this man did for his unit. And there are others who give their lives every day for their brothers in arms. But the ironic thing, every one of those people that Peralta died to save will die one day. They will walk the veil of this life and enter into eternity. Rafael Peralta could not save them and make their life new. Only God can do that. And so you and I start where God starts. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for your sin and for mine. And he was risen to new life so that we would know that death had no rule over him, that the grave could not hold him, and the penalty of sin was paid. Because he did not pay for his own sins. He had none. He paid for yours and for mine. Paul tells us that it is for by grace that you and I are saved by faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, lest any of us should boast. We come humbly to the cross of Christ and start where God starts. We realize, we recognize before Almighty God that we are sinners, and we need to be forgiven of our sins, and that the penalty thereof has been forgiven by God at the cross. And so we humbly surrender our efforts, and we receive what Christ has done for us on the cross. By faith, we are saved, and faith alone saves us. And that's where we all must start. You might have grown up in the church. I was raised in the church, not the Lutheran church, not a Presbyterian church, but a Catholic church. I knew all about God and what he had done. I never knew about faith. I never understood that I needed to turn from myself and trust what he had done. I thought if I just observed my religion and did what the priests told me to do, that I'd be okay. Biblically, that is not how it works. God has provided everything for us in the cross of Christ. And we must come by faith to trust in that. Or we will pay for our sins ourselves. God will be satisfied. And so, I invite you right now to start where God starts, at the cross. If you have been trusting in your own goodness, your own religious observance, as good as it is. And those are good things. But if you think that that's what's going to earn you favor with God, I invite you to let it go. Because there is one and only one way. Jesus Christ said, I am going to the Father. And his disciples said, we don't know the way. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. I would invite you to surrender and stop trusting in anything else but Jesus Christ. And maybe today is a brand new day for you. Maybe today is the day you are born again to a new hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How we do that is simply in our hearts before Almighty God. There are different traditions of raising hands and walking an aisle and all of those things. And there's nothing wrong with those things. In the quiet of your heart, do business with God. Recognize that you're a sinner and tell God that you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of your sins. And today is a brand new day. Because only God makes things new. Amen? Amen. Now, in your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17. I know we read Luke, and that's very important, and I'm glad we did. Because Jesus Christ is alive. And because of his death and resurrection, because we can have faith in him, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us something incredibly significant about ourselves and what Christ has done. And that's on page 1158 in your pew Bible. It's talking about, to the Corinthians, it's being addressed to them about loving Christ and being in him and surrendering to him, and he died, all died, and we are baptized into his death and newness of life. And then in verse 17 it says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, behold, look, new things have come, all things have become new." First, in Christ we are new creatures, totally new creations. It's a new situation, a new perspective. You can be a new person. It isn't as if God takes a sinner who has faith in Christ and gives him a new paint job. It's not a renovation. It's not Ty Pennington saying, "And the renovation begins now." I mean, that show's over anyways. I mean, it had its run. It's not that kind of a thing. It is not self-improvement. You don't pop a tape in for 90 days and get a new person. You do that with P90X, you get a whole new body. But not a new person. If anyone is in Christ, she is something brand new. Completely new. Pure, shiny. Totally changed, transformed. Ezekiel has it where it says that he will send Christ, and Christ will come and take out of them a heart of stone and put into them a heart of flesh. It's a brand new creation. And in Christ, that's who we are. But there's enough in this passage in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the way it's written in the original, to let us know that there's something more going on here as well. It's not just for this life, but it's for the next one as well. It is a completely new perspective on the way things unfold. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, "He who sits on the throne says, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" God is the only one that does that. He makes all things new. Heaven and earth will pass away. And the holy city will come down, New Jerusalem. All things will be recreated. He gives a new community. When you and I come to the cross of Christ and we enter into fellowship with God and are reconciled to him and we have a relationship with him, God builds a new community. Last week we celebrated, and we do every first Sunday of the month, if it's possible, we have communion. And Jesus Christ said, "This is the cup of my blood, the blood of a new covenant. Never to be superseded. Never to be antiquated or old. It is brand new." God is the only one that makes things new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." We're going to do this together. So first of all, start where God starts. If you're in Christ, realize you're a new creature, that God has created something brand new. And then old things. Keep your BC in your past. Before Christ. And get into the newness of the life God has given you. Live in the newness of life. Keep your BC in your past. When we come to Christ and faith in Christ and we come to his cross, we are dead to sin but alive unto God. Sin has no reign over our mortal bodies anymore. It was nailed to the cross. And in that new creation, all of the pre-Christian ideas, priorities, perspective, allegiances that we once had as sinners walking through this world are gone. Because you're a new creature. All of those old things have passed with him. They died when he died. And we live in the newness of life. Behold, look, it should be visible. All things are made new. If you've come to the cross of Christ, beloved, we're a new community. We're in a new covenant. We have new values. We have new priorities. We have a new way of looking at things. And the Bible consistently shows us the contrast, the juxtaposition, the difference between our BC and our newness. So the world before Christ would tell us, me first. You remember this. Second grade, time to line up for milk break, go down to cafeteria. Everybody was running to be first, right? You're budging in line, right? Me first. I got to go first. Why? Because it's ingrained in us. The world tells us, yay me, me first. Right? You who work in the elementary school, have things changed since I was in second grade? No, they haven't. I know they haven't. I had a second grader. They haven't changed. And it doesn't stop after second grade. It's just an easy illustration. The world says me first. The Bible says, God tells us in the newness of our lives, look not out for your own interests, but for the interests of others. How many of you know what YOLO is? Come on, you tweeters, you know what YOLO is. YOLO? No, are you really not hip? I'm the only one in the whole room that's hip. YOLO? Nobody wants to admit it. You don't really know. Oh, I thought I was gonna get the teenagers with this one. You only live once. Now y'all hip and y'all know. Jesus Christ, God tells us, to the man who built up his stables and his storage capacities for his harvest, you fool, do you not know your soul is required of you this day? You only live once. Go for the gusto. Go ahead and do it. The world tells us that little lies are okay as long as we're responsible with the big things. The Bible says, God tells us in the newness of life, if we lie, we are of our father the devil, who was a liar from the beginning. Little lies are not okay. The world tells us it's okay to hate our enemies. In the newness of life, God tells us to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You see, it's a brand new perspective. The old values are gone. The new values have come. The world tells children to resist the authority of their parents or their school teachers or their administrators. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The world tells us, I'm okay, you're okay. In the newness of life, one of the first things we have to admit is that we are not okay. In the old that has passed away, it tells us to be served. The new tells us to serve. The old way of thinking tells us to worry about the future, financially, medically. The new life says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request be made known to God. The old nature says, be afraid of the Democrats or the Republicans. They want clean air. They want the senior citizens to die. They want to upset our country. The new life says, fear not, for I am with you. The old way says, have a good time. The new covenant says, in this world you will have trouble. The old way says, more money, more money, more money, big money. I'll take an A, Alex, or whatever his name is, Pat. The new nature says, having food and clothing, therewith be content. The old way says, make sure you tweet about it right away, post it, so the world can see what you had for supper, or how depressed or bored you are, or whatever. God says, be slow to speak, quick to listen. The old way says, minimum wage, minimum effort. The new way says, do your work heartily for the Lord rather than for man. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. The death and resurrection of Jesus makes us new creations. Dr. Oz, Dr. Phil, P90X, they all renovate. And they all renovate with results. I mean, there's no way to deny that. But it's insufficient change. It's short-sighted, and it will not last into eternity. Dr. Oz, Dr. Phil, Bob Harper cannot make anything new. Only God can. We praise God because He, Jesus, is alive. And because of that, you and I can be new. If you know Christ, you are new. I'm going to meddle. Can anyone tell that you're new? Get off the self-help treadmill. The resurrection of Jesus Christ has put self-help to death. Nail that idea to the cross and live in the newness of life that God has made in you through Christ. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who is alive, who was raised from the dead and brings us to new life, that you have given us a new hope, born again to a new hope through the resurrection. There is so much to this new life. It should make us giddy in considering new perspective. Help us, Lord, to keep before Christ in our past and not give it any place in our lives, so that you would rule and reign in and through us to the praise and honor and glory of your grace that is in Christ Jesus. We pray these things in his name. Amen.